Mounting bills, lost jobs, and an uncertain future. The challenges of the coronavirus are hitting hard.
There are lots of sort of hidden ways that the pandemic is squeezing people's finances.
But the pain isn't equal, with the data revealing racial disparities. Plus, why Amazon, a force that's made life hard for brick-and-mortar retailers, is in talks to strike a deal with shopping malls. And the controversy around Kodak causes a big government loan to hit a snag. It's Monday, August 10th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Police in Hong Kong have made their highest profile arrest yet under a new security law. Publisher and prominent pro-democracy figure Jimmy Lai is accused of foreign collusion. Two of his sons were also arrested, along with employees of his company. Video shows hundreds of police officers searching his newspaper's office. The Wall Street Journal's Dan Strumpf explains why the arrest is so significant.
Jimmy Lai is one of the most prominent media figures in Hong Kong. He's the publisher of Apple Daily, which is a well-known, well-read, pro-democratic newspaper in Hong Kong. Frequently publishes articles challenging the Hong Kong government and covering the protest movement that rocked the city last year quite aggressively. Jimmy Lai was... is the most senior figure to be arrested today. There were a handful of other executives and figures within his publishing house that were also detained today.
The U.S. is now over the 5 million mark for confirmed coronavirus cases. That is by far the highest in the world, followed by Brazil and India. Worldwide, there are nearly 20 million cases. There's new debate over the executive orders President Trump signed over the weekend. Among other things, they provide additional jobless aid and help Americans avoid eviction. But Democrats say the president's move is unconstitutional, saying it violates Congress's spending authority. For the moment, no new talks are planned among members of Congress and the White House to create a new pandemic relief package. A bit later in the podcast, we'll go beyond the political debate and look at the challenges Americans are facing in the pandemic and at new data that shows the pain isn't being felt equally. A planned $765 million federal loan to Kodak is now on hold. The U.S. International Development Finance Corporation says it won't proceed with the loan until recent allegations are cleared up. The SEC is investigating how Kodak controlled disclosure of the loan, which boosted its stock price. Kodak said it would launch an internal review, but declined to comment on the loan being put on hold. Just ahead, why Amazon could be part of the landscape at your local mall. Plus, once boring U.S. treasuries may not be the safe place they've been in the past. That's coming up. We're reporting the largest owner of malls in the U.S. has been talking to Amazon. Simon Property Group is looking at turning some of its larger department store space into Amazon distribution hubs. The talks are focusing on using spaces that have held JCPenney and Sears outlets. Both chains have filed for bankruptcy and are closing some stores. In times of economic uncertainty, U.S. government bonds have been seen as a relatively safe place to invest. But the 10-year Treasury has had an interesting ride lately, with yields near record lows. Our Quinton Webb looks at what's behind this.
Well, so, you know, for a long time, Treasury bonds were sort of dull but reliable investment instrument. If you didn't want to take big risks, you knew you could park your money in Treasuries and kind of, you know, clip a 3 or 4% or 5% return, depending on what year this was, without too much trouble. You know, there's very little as safe as lending to the US government effectively, because, of course, they control the printing presses, so they can always print more dollars if they need to, and they can raise taxes if they need to as well. Now, what's happened recently is, during this latest phase of market turmoil, bond yields have fallen to such levels that some of that kind of traditional appeal of treasuries has fallen away. You know, so now a 10-year treasury yields less than 0.6%, almost nothing, basically.
Coming up, the challenges of paying the bills during the pandemic and what census data tells us about who is hurting the most. For many Americans, paying for housing is a mounting challenge because of the coronavirus economic slowdown, and the pressure isn't equally distributed. To get a better idea of the scope of the struggle, we're joined by Wall Street Journal economics reporter Gwen Gilford. Good morning, Gwen.
Good morning, Mark.
Gwen, you've been looking at the census data, and it reveals some real disparities, especially when it comes to financial stability. What did you discover?
So tens of millions of households are struggling to pay either rent or mortgage payments because their cash flows have been squeezed by the pandemic. But that's disproportionately hurting Black and Latino households. So there's new census data that is showing that more than 20% of Black and Hispanic or Latino adults reported being late on rent or mortgage payments as of mid-July. And that compares with 9% of whites.
With those findings, behind the numbers are people who are struggling to make ends meet. The human stress of all of this is very real.
For sure. So one woman I spoke with who lives in the south side of Chicago, she's an African-American single mother of two kids in elementary school. She worked at a chicken factory that closed down in March, so she was laid off. And then they started bringing workers back, but there was an outbreak at the plant. And since she's the sole caretaker of her children, she did not want a chance getting sick. So she's just been stuck at home with her kids and has no income. And on July 28th, she received an eviction notice. But there are other, you know, it's not just frontline workers, though. There are lots of sort of hidden ways that the pandemic is squeezing people's finances.
Families are obviously dealing with some short-term, immediate financial struggles. But this can also have long-term consequences well beyond the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely. So the impact of the pandemic has disproportionately hit Black and Latino communities in terms of health. Like, more people are getting sick and dying at higher rates. And job loss or hours being cut. Like, the employment impacts have fallen harder on Latino and Black workers. But more fundamentally, the pandemic is amplifying longstanding racial disparities in financial security and home ownership. And, you know, so these are things like the wealth gap, where, you know, this was really essential to having the savings you need to weather something like the worst pandemic in a century. And there's also income, of course, since Black and Latino workers earn less on average than white workers. And with housing specifically, they tend to pay a larger percent of their income towards housing costs than white families do. So, you know, that's the picture of, you know, some pretty fundamental financial inequality. And what the pandemic is threatening to do is widen that inequality. And perhaps, you know, the sources I talk to are worried that it will ultimately worsen disparities in financial security in ways that could set back generations of people of color.
Gwen Gilford, thanks for joining us this morning.
It was great to be here, Mark.
And that's what's news for Monday. We're back tonight with an updated edition. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.